All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at Bar Lines Downtown Omni National Hotel. Our special guest with us this hour is none other than Olympic gold medal skater and just a good dude, Scott Hamilton. Can we call you that? Is that all right? Just a good dude?
Matt, good dude. It's kind of nice, yeah.
Just a good dude. When you get on the phone, your big event's Sunday at Bridgestone Arena, and you get a Kevin Cronin and a Mike Reno and everybody else, how do you go about this? I mean, I'm sure they don't say no, but to pull these guys together is pretty special.
You know, it's always hard. It's, you know, it's the week before, it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, so a lot of people have made family plans and everything else. I mean, Mike Reno, his wife Catherine St. Germain is singing with him, Almost Paradise.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that song, right?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so he's singing that. She's singing that with, and her parents live in Nashville, so they're coming out a little bit early, so that worked out.
Always a connection.
But, you know, it's like I met Kevin Cronin when I lived in L.A. Some friends of mine owned a little sort of a nightclub that would bring in a lot of those rock acts,
yeah.
You know? And they said, hey, we'll go to dinner with you guys, but let's go to my son's baseball practice first. I said, that'd be great. And so we're going over watching these little kids play baseball, and there's a guy on the pitching mound of the coach, and he's pitching to these little kids. And I go, he looks familiar. He goes, Coach Kevin? And I go, is that Kevin Cronin? And they go, yeah, it's Coach Kevin. And it's like, he's your kid's baseball coach? It's like, that's insane. And so, I got to meet him like once or twice. But I was always a huge fan of the band. That album, High Infidelity, sold 10 million copies.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. And so, you got Loverboy, who is like really relevant back in. I skated to Loverboy in the 1982 short program.
What song?
Turn Me Loose.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, da-dun, da-dun. Yeah, I hit my combination right there. But it was, it's all these guys I'm huge fans of. And Andy Childs of Six Wire and all the Six Wire guys.
Yeah.
They play with those guys all the time.
Fantastically
and
talented
And so I
guys.
Said, Andy, I go, I need your help this year. You know, we really need to get our talent up because, we're running out of time. And he said, so we got on the phone. We spent hours on the phone collaborating. Well, how do you want to go about it? Who do you want to get? How do you want me to reach out? And if it weren't for Andy, I don't think we'd have anybody except for Jason Derlatka, who and I, we've become dear friends since the first time he sang with the Journey guys.
With
Jonathan Cain and Neil Sean came in for the show a few years ago, and he was the first time he ever performed with them, and now he's a member of the band. He was, just brought on, and so we've become really good friends, and he's an extraordinary talent, amazing guy. Jason Sheff, I got to know golf tournaments and everything else, Chicago.
Yeah.
He stepped in when Peter Cetera left and was with them for 30 years, and just so many of the hits. And it's just looking at these songs, it's kind of the soundtrack of my, younger self. But it's also songs that have really, really been proven the test of time.
Oh, yeah.
They're just relevant today as they ever were, and they're just fun to listen to.
Oh, they are. I know friends have gone to this year event every year. It's happened this Sunday at Bridgestone. And they say for a couple hours, we just shut off the world.
Yeah.
Because you don't see Olympic style skaters that you're going to have there on Sunday and the music. This doesn't happen every day in the world, and it's just the perfect spot. Isn't it cool to hear that?
Oh, it's the best. And, I'll go out and I'll watch. I'll just watch the audience. And I saw one music, he's been a veteran of the music industry for a very long time. And he's just, he's a hard critic, right? So we had one number with all these guys. It was a guy group number, and they came around, and all five of them sprayed the front row of the audience. And he got snow all over him. And all of a sudden, I look at him, and he's 5 years old. He's so excited. It's just like, did you see that? And it's just the throws of the pairs and the guys doing backflips. And it's so exciting to see the music come alive in that way. And it's the only time it happens anywhere in the world. One night in Nashville, Tennessee, we'll never perform this show again ever.
Wow.
And it'll never be televised. It's only whoever's in the building gets to see it.
Beautiful.
And it's, again, uniquely, we're the only people in the world that can do this because it's Nashville. The Predators give us the building to, do this amazing event. They're phenomenal people. And, it's just, it's... Sean Henry told me recently it's David Poyle's favorite event. And, Barry Trotz is there every single year to help us out. And And, you know, Sean's there, Danny Butler, all they're all there. The whole family is right there to support us. And it's just extraordinary that that's what this town, I think the identity of Nashville is, you can go to a benefit every single night of the week here.
Yeah,
because
right,
there's nonprofits, there's people that are extending to other people. And I've gotten to partner with and tour with, you know, tour the facilities and hands-on. And, you know, again, it's just that's what kind of town this is. And again, it's just we're here to in our little niche of trying to change cancer forever and for the better.
Right.
And we've got, you know, one part of the show, which is my favorite. We call them the Overcomers. They're our skate champion kids. So we do Skate to Eliminate Cancer fundraisers. They're a peer-to-peer fundraiser all over the country. And it's like a 5K, but it's on ice. But we have ice shows, and we have 3v3 hockey tournaments, and we have all these incredible,
great,
you know, these events that we do to raise money. It's a peer-to-peer thing. So in Nashville, the top 30 fundraisers qualified to be in the performance,
ooh,
in the show. And the first year we did it as a pre-show thing. And I looked at it, and I was like, no, that deserves to be smack dab in the middle of the show. And so we right now they're up to, I think, they've raised over $62,000.
Whoa.
Just these kids, right? And they do it by Jackson Serbrook sells dog treats. He just he started skating when he went to Bridgestone and saw the show. One year he said, I want to do that. And he started skating, and now he's raised $60,000.
Wow.
Selling dog treats.
Look at that.
Unbelievable.
How old was he when he started skating?
Oh, he must have been like 6 or 7.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's probably, you know, 7. Probably.
I feel like I'm a lost cause at 38.
No, you're 38. Not. No, you're let's just say gravity will not be your friend.
It's not. I think he's witnessed it. I got on skates and felt like Bambi. I had no balance.
I can help you with that.
Okay,
what's funny about skating is it's like anything else. Do you remember learning how to walk?
No.
But now you don't think about it.
Not at all.
Like I would have to, you get on the ice and all those little muscles that, you know, support the big muscles, they're like, duh. So you gotta teach them how to like work to support the big muscles. And once you do that, it's like, you don't think about it anymore. It's just like walking. You just step on the ice and you start to skate.
And get it done, right? I want to ask you, in your journey when you got cancer, did you get mad at God?
No. I was like, I was fascinated. I go, what are you doing? And it became very obvious that he was saying, I'm interrupting your life specifically because I want you to not do what you've been doing, right? Which is all work and tour and next opportunity and this. The tail was wagging the dog. And, you know, I wasn't living like I felt like I needed to be living, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he just sort of gave me a time out. And I just said, this is fascinating. And I'm just going to be fascinated by the whole process of chemotherapy. I'm going to be fascinated by, you know, how I endure it. I'm going to be fascinated by the surgery, which is a 38 staple surgery for a man my size.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's filet au scat. You know, it's like, you know, my Dr. Klein has seen parts of me I never want to see, right? But it's how's this going to work in your life? And if it weren't for cancer. Now, I met my wife on the 3rd anniversary of my diagnosis on the day.
Come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
And no, it's like I wouldn't have my family. I wouldn't have my children. I wouldn't have looked at them every single day. And it's I'm grateful. I'm grateful for, you know, Dr. you know, Einhorn for finding a cocktail that would kill my cancer. I'm grateful for Dr. Bukowski who was, you know, had the training to do it. I was grateful for Dr. Klein who did the surgery and saw me through all the recovery stuff. I'm grateful for so many people in the healthcare industry. The Cleveland Clinic was incredible the way they saw me through. The Taussig family, who the cancer center at the Cleveland Clinic is named after the Taussig family because they had cancer that much that they have a cancer. They lost their father to cancer. So they're our main supporter for this show every year. There are they every year they've given us almost $1 million for this particular event, just because they believe in the work that we do, and they've been with me from the very beginning in Cleveland all the way through to where we are today. And it's extraordinary that, you know, you just link arms with people and you allow, you know, it's like, you know, we pray that there's a modality of treatment for every single person that is, you know, that's diagnosed with cancer. I mean, that's what we're working towards. We're working towards a day where no one dies of cancer anymore.
Amen, brother.
We don't know how to get rid of it yet. We don't know how to prevent it yet. In some ways we do. Eat the right things, drink the right one, you know, just avoid a lot of the toxins, a lot of the environmental stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Why do we eat in this country things every day that are illegal everywhere else in the world? You know, it's like, I somebody answer that question, please. You know, it's like
right.
There's so much about the way we live day to day that invites poor health.
Yeah.
And when you have, you know, it's a systemic thing, bad things can happen, right? Whether it be, you know, cancer, heart disease, whatever it is. So our business is to say, okay, if this happens, our job is to make sure that we check every single box we can to make sure that any person that's diagnosed with cancer, there's an answer to their challenge, to their episode, to their journey, and that they can get out the other side and just have a new gratitude toward life.
Yeah.
I always tell people, do you know how you truly know you've survived cancer?
How's that?
That's a great question.
When you get upset in traffic. Because you're back to sweating the small stuff. It's like, what am I doing? I'm angry at the guy that just cut me off. It's like, I'm alive. Okay, let's go there. And I'm going to be 2 minutes late. Ho-hum. You know, it's just all that stuff. You know, it's like anytime anybody flips me off in traffic, it's like, okay.
Yeah, thank you. Good day.
You know, but it's like, you know, little things. You know, and this is something I encourage people to do. It's just those random acts of kindness.
Yep.
Like I was in Publix, and I was behind a lady, and she was checking out, and I could tell she was wearing a turban, and I could tell that, you know, she was going through chemotherapy. And she, you know, she was about to pay for her groceries, and I said, "May I?" And she says, "Oh no, I got this." I go, "No, I'm a survivor." And she goes, "Oh." I go, "Can I pay for your groceries?" And she said, "Yes." And so I'm big on eights. Like, yeah. I was born 8/28/58. Like I did figure eights.
Yeah.
Like 80s were a big time in my life. And so I got the check, and it was $88.18.
Get out of here.
And it's like, thank you, Lord. It's
wow.
Like, you know, it's like all these little God winks and all
yes.
these little things that just happen that are just so extraordinary that, yeah, there is a God, and he's totally there 100%. And to answer your question, was I mad at God? No. Grateful. For every single knockdown, every single get up, I was grateful for every single failure and every single, because they go hand in hand. I was last place guy in skating for, I don't know, decade. I don't know how long it took. I mean,
really?
It took forever. I went to my first nationals on the little novice boys level.
Yeah.
And I fell 5 times in a 3-minute program.
Oh.
Yeah. Dead last. The next year I went back and ninth again. Ninth. They're out of 10. Another kid was there. He wasn't very good.
How bad was he, huh?
I don't think he kept skating. I think he quit.
Joe, we said we weren't going to tell that was you.
Right.
But it was like I was that last place guy, you know. So it just sort of was one of those things where I had ability. I could do stuff. But it was like, what am I? You know, I just didn't know how to put it together. And so, you know, we fail, we learn. You know, it's like anytime you take up anything, you're not going to be proficient. Day one.
Right.
You know, and when I wrote Finish First, it was a book I wrote, 2018. It was one of those things where we were writing it, and the person who was helping me put it together, Ali Fallon, she goes, "How many times do you think you've fallen down on the ice?" And I went, "Stand by." And I pulled out my phone, I was doing the calculator thing, and I go, minimum 41,600 times.
Minimum.
Minimum.
Yeah.
And so she goes, "Ow!" And it's like, no, but when you get up 41,600 times, those failures don't have the
Amen.
Same identity. You
God,
know?
Amen.
You
yep.
just get up, you know, and just get
Not
up.
How many times you fall, how many times you get up.
Yeah.
I love that. We'll have more with Scott Hamilton coming up next. Chasing Big Joe at the Omni, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel, continuing our conversation with Olympic gold medalist Scott Hamilton. Always enjoy having you on with us. I mean, you truly are one of the greats.
Oh, man. Thank you.
We were talking a little bit earlier, and you may have mentioned this when I had to step away, but the Hockey Fights Cancer coming up on Saturday. Have you seen Soros' mask, what he's going to wear yet?
No, huh?
It's very cool. It's honoring some members of the Preds family that were affected by cancer.
Wow.
Willie Donick's wife, Erin, her picture's on there.
Man, she was a light. I just devastating that she's gone. You know, it's just awful. I just loved her so much.
And that leads me into my next question. I lost my dad 4 years ago to cancer.
I'm so sorry.
How much impact do those that have lost people have when supporting you and supporting these organizations? Because I feel like that, you know, those of us that have gone through it and lost someone, I mean, it's I'm like you. You're a survivor, but I want to see more survivors now because I've seen what the loss is.
Well, I lost my mom when I was 18 years old, and 18 is way too young for a boy to lose his mom. I think we can sit here corporately and say 18-year-old boys are knuckleheads, you know.
Yeah, right.
They need their moms, right?
Absolutely.
100%. So, yeah, that loss is, you know, and even if it's 5 years ago, it doesn't matter. When you lose a parent, you're 8 years old again, you know, and it's just like you can't. It's like you can't negotiate it. It's just a loss like no other, right? Losing a child, I think, is the most painful thing you can go through. I think that's why St. Jude has been so incredible at, you know, changing the world the way they do. But, you know, when you are a co-survivor, as you know, when your parents are going through it, and then when they're gone, it's almost like, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Well, you feel helpless, right? And in that, you know, we try, and we have a lot of volunteers. We just try to bring people along with us to say, help us. And, you know, what you're doing today by allowing me to, you know, promote this event, you know, maybe a drop in the bucket, you know, but still a drop in the bucket. There's how many drops did it take to fill that bucket, you know,
right.
But it's still more than was in there before, right? And that's what does it. It's just like, all the extensions of kindness, all the extensions of generosity, of time, of whatever you can put into it, you know, of passion. However that works, it really honors everyone that's going through it now, and it gives them hope that they're not just doing this by themselves. You know, it's such a lonely process because,
right.
You know, you feel somewhat different than everybody else in the room, and you just, it's so unique, you know, like, so many people that were in the audience last year that just found out that they're going through a cancer, they're back this year as survivors.
Ooh.
And we celebrate that. And we don't let that sit. You know, we're just, you know, but it's those types of losses that put me, I wanted to be a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Losing my mom, void. How do I fill some of that void? Not never going to fill all of it,
no.
Right? But it's like, I want to try to help the next person so maybe they don't have to suffer the same loss. Like, if I can prevent an 18-year-old boy from burying his mom, win. Win. Even if it's one. But if you do the math, if you're part of funding a research project that now creates a proven treatment for a cancer that was untreatable, you can't count the lives that have been saved.
No. No.
You can't.
Right.
It's impossible. Because now it's check. Let's go on to the next one.
That's right. On down the line. On down
check.
The line. Yeah.
Check. And so, I'm so sorry for the loss of your father, but it's like the only reason I do what I do is because I lost my mom and I survived.
Yeah.
I've had a birthday my mom never got to have. In fact, I've had 18 birthdays my mom never got to have. And I've had two birthdays my dad never got to have. So it's, you know, I'm here. I'm on house money.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm playing it hard.
You know? That's great.
You know, you brought up eight, you know, in like numbers.
Yeah.
What's and it hit me like the moment after he was gone. He was 34 when I was born. I was 34 when he died.
Wow.
So it was just like, okay, there's something with that. But
yeah.
It just, you know, and it's hard to believe it's been 4 years. But, you know, and Joe can, you know, attest to this. I think me being vulnerable and talking about it, you know, is kind of my way of trying to.
It's so important for anyone that's listening.
Yeah.
Especially if they're going through it or if they've been through it, to know that they're they're not the only one,
yeah.
and that they that you know this is something that matters to all of us, and we've got to link arms, and we've got to make a difference, and we've got to do the best we can. And again, it's just every small thing, you know, is built out of our building blocks to create big things.
Right.
You know, it's like I look at a brick in my house; it's one brick. But my goodness,
yeah.
if that brick went there, bad things are going to happen, right? You know, so we all serve in whatever way we can. And, you know, by you helping me promote yeah. the show on Sunday and trying to talk a few people into buying tickets, however many we can, I've never in my pro career or even in my amateur career, toward the end, especially when I figured it out, I don't overpromise and underdeliver. You know?
Yeah.
This is a great, great, great event, and it's worth supporting. It's worth getting behind, and it really is making an impact, you know? And we hope to grow. I told my board in the last board meeting, I said, I don't see a reason in the world why we shouldn't be one of the top three cancer fundraising
yeah.
mechanisms in the world. Let's work towards that.
Yeah.
And everybody's eyes got real big. Like, oh man, how are we going to do that? I go, because we can.
Right.
Let's
there you
just
go.
Because we can. And if we don't think we can, we won't. But if we do think we can, every next step becomes logical. So, do I think cancer is curable? Yes. Now I do.
Yeah.
When I watched my mom go through it, I didn't. But now I do. I realize early detection.
When you went through it, did you think it was?
Well, I was told 80-90% chance.
Yeah.
And I figured, well, I'm probably in better shape than, 25% of the world.
Right.
You know, so I guess I'm still in that range. but I just felt in my spirit that I was going to be okay. I just needed to control my space, and I needed to be fascinated by it. And so my nurse treated me like an 8-year-old. She figured it out quick. She would decorate my chemo bags with Snoopy stickers. My second bag after 4 hours of infusion. My next 4 hours with a bag covered in Mylar. Different colors every day.
Right.
My Band-Aids were SpongeBob and Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
And I was promised, if you're good today, there's a banana popsicle waiting for you in the nurse's freezer.
That's what.
I'm 38 years old, and it's like, she's treating me like an 8-year-old. It was awesome.
I love it. Is it okay that you won a gold medal? I mean, you're immensely popular. Is it okay that people know you through Blades of Glory?
Yeah, 100%. Most people don't remember I was even in it, which is fine with me, too. But it's, it was... I got a million stories from that, but one of my favorite was where, I went to hang out, sort of and watch them shoot some of the movie, and I was there for a scene that they did 12 different punchlines, and the crew was howling with laughter, and I'm like covering it because I thought that whatever was said was, going to show up in the movie. They wipe all that, and then they revoice it later on, right?
Ugh.
So the crew is laughing their faces off, which helps the performance and everything else. And so I got to know them a little. I spent a lot of time with Will Ferrell, and I spent a lot of time with John Heder. And I knew Craig T. Nelson way before all of that. So it was really fun, to kind of be on set. And then I'm back in my little trailer area waiting to shoot some of the commentary scenes. And they one of the directors came and said, hey, we need you on set. And I go, what's going on? And they go, Will just wrote a little scene. He wants you in it. And I was like, really? And so it was the interview scene at the Kiss and Cry when they got done with their first big
yes.
performance, right? And so that's the one where a woman comes by with a bottle of champagne and he just chugs it and he slaps her on the rear end as she walks away. And John Heater's like, we were just really focused and we really tried to put on a good performance. And he's like, we're riding this train. And, it was just like, and I'm just like, what am I doing here? It's just, this is unbelievable. What a gift that was. It was so much
so
fun.
Funny.
And it's still one of my favorite movies. And I think it's still, if it's not like number one best Will Ferrell movie ever.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the top three.
Was there no crowd there? I heard you doing it every time. There's nobody in the arena. It seemed like everybody was there, but you did that scene with nobody there, right?
Nobody was there. we were up in this little box area. Like it looked like a little desk kissing cry thing with me and Jim Lampley. And we were doing our little, scenes, and there was just people on the ice moving boxes around and everything else. And all of that. We got to see some mock-ups of the performance, but we weren't calling anything live.
Right.
Everything was sort of done, just trying to remember what was. And one of my favorite lines, and it's so bad, it's just so bad, it's so bad, was when Amy Poehler she was on the ice with her husband at the time.
Will Arnett.
And he's Heimlicking her, and she's spitting out sleeping pills. And it was JFK in Maryland. That was their performance. And my line was, now there's an interesting take on American history. And so much of it was just so bad. I mean, everything was just off. But, you know, it's a funny movie.
Yeah.
And it's... I got to do the press junket, which was hilarious, at the premiere. And, of course, you know, you get all the answers, what's next? And it's like, well, I'm thinking about, you know, I'm waiting for some people to step aside, you know, Brad Pitt to slow down a little bit, and I'm going to step in and take this off. But, you know, it's so fun to be able to experience these things.
And love it, man.
It's been a very full life, you know, just crazy.
That is wild. That
was 18 years ago?
2007.
Really? Oh, my goodness. My choreographer was the head choreographer on that show. And, so many of the skaters that were in it. My favorite, like, Sasha Cohen, if you can remember, she was a silver medalist in Torino, mm-hmm. right? She was in first place after the short program. She came second overall. And she's a beautiful skater, just elegant, classy, gorgeous, just stunning. And her part in that was... Will Ferrell reaches down and pulls out his jock and throws it into the stands. If you haven't seen the movie, there's a little bit of that.
Right.
And she catches it out of midair and she puts it right up to her face and she says, I love you, Chaz. And it's so opposite of everything ever. And the Nancy Kerrigan scene where, are you an official here?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's just... It was, and you know, Brian Boitano and Peggy Fleming and Dorothy Hamill and Lisa Marie Allen, who was on the 80 Olympic team with me. I mean, they're all in this movie in different ways and different
Jenna
places.
Fischer from The Office.
Yeah, she played the girlfriend, and she was really sweet, very quiet to be around, but very sweet, very talented and amazing.
You lived the life of a rock star, Scott.
For a minute, I was a movie star. Yeah.
Hey, on IMDb, you get billing before Andy Richter, so that's how it should be.
Well, I always tell people, I don't know how I'm going into my 10th Olympics as a broadcaster because I have a face for radio and a voice for the hearing impaired.
So. Wait, 10?
This will be my 10th Olympics.
What was your first one?
My first one was Albertville. Christy Yamaguchi won the gold medal.
Yeah.
And then the second one, I was paired with Vern Lundquist back then. Second one was... Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan in 1994 in Lillehammer. And then
You were there for that?
Yeah, I was the short program, okay, when Nancy and Tanya were going to be on the ice competing for the first time.
Right.
At the end of the day, was the fourth most watched television program in the history of television in the United States.
Wow.
And my producer gave me an impossible on camera that I only had one take to do. Everything was pulsing. My temples were thudding. You know, have you ever had it when you're so nervous?
Right.
I was sweating through my suit for this stupid on camera. I had one take only. Got through it, and I was like, And Vern says, we're covering the Olympic Games. We're not covering the media circus. We're covering the Olympic Games. Every skater on this ice deserves us to tell their stories. We're going to cover the Olympic Games. We're not covering the craziness of all this, you know, stuff that's been happening. And so that's what we did. And
it
was an amazing thing. And then 98 in Nagano. And then NBC took over. 2002 was in Salt Lake. 2006 was in Torino. 2010 was in Vancouver. 2014 was in Sochi. 2018 was in Pyeongchang. 2022 was Beijing. Nobody really went. I did it out of my basement in Brentwood.
Yeah.
They gave me a studio. They set up I had a spare bedroom, and there was no furniture in there, and we put up a step and repeat behind me, and we bought a desk at Target, and they gave this remote control camera that this technician named Bob came in and created this little studio in my basement. And so I... get up, we'd have a production meeting, I go make breakfast for my kids, they go off to school, I go downstairs, do the Olympics, And then after I was done doing the Olympics, I'd go upstairs, make breakfast, work out, you know, kind of watch the events, and then the same thing the next morning. It was amazing. And now, number 10, which is Milan. I'll be going over there, and I'll be sitting with Mike Tirico.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Love it.
Mike Tirico is one of the nicest human beings I think I've
yeah.
ever met.
We've had him on a yeah. few times, and he's always been great.
And he's so talented.
Oh, you yeah, know, he can
and
do
so
anything.
Approachable and so humble and kind. And
he's no Chase and Big Joe, so, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty tough.
It's funny. There's not many broadcasters anymore like a Vern or an Al Michaels or Mike Tirico that can literally do any sport.
Yeah.
You know, you ask
well,
him to do.
Well, I mean, Vern Lundquist, you know.
Uncle Vern.
Uncle Vern. Do you realize that they would put anybody that they really wanted to develop as a broadcaster, they would pair with Vern Lundquist?
That's a wise move.
He built Terry Bradshaw.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. He did.
You know, and he, you know, you look at Gary Danielson, all the SEC stuff, and just all the stuff that he did at the Masters. And, all you know, anytime anybody sits down next to him, you know, they just get better. And he's so humble, and he loved figure skating. He did his book tour a few years ago, and it was really fun. They said, you know, and he'd always get asked this question. And he said, if you could do any sport one more time, and you could sit next to, you know, one of your broadcast friends, what would that be? And he always said, the Olympics with me.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it just, he's the best guy. And he just loves He loves everyone, and he cared deeply about every single skater that ever took the ice. And he loved the music, and he loved the art form, and he loved, you know, just, and he'd always say it. No one ever said it before him, alone on the ice. I heard that, and I go, thank goodness I didn't hear that before. I could be in my Olympics. I would have wet my pants. It's just crazy that it's just so, you know, his voice is so perfect for dramatic situations yeah. and everything else, and it's been such a blessing, you know. Just to,
so real quick with Mike on this Olympics, will you be in the
studio?
You'll be in the studio. Okay.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get over to the rink to watch some of the events, but I have a feeling I'll be in studio with him.
Very cool.
A lot, you know, pretty much every day. And my youngest son's going over with me.
Nice.
And I just want you to say a prayer for my family. Tomorrow night, my oldest birth son is in his first MMA fight.
Oh, wow.
He's been training to be in the UFC, and tomorrow's his first official MMA fight. And so we're going to Cookeville for that. And big weekend. My son's first fight, and then all the skaters come in, and we put the show together, and Sunday, and yeah, it's a big weekend.
That's so. Well, yeah, we will say a prayer. I hope that goes well.
I think it will. He's yeah. I When he got into this, I stopped disciplining him. I just figured, what's the point?
Right. Probably smart.
If he doesn't get his way, he'll probably just choke me out. You know? But
oh,
yeah, it's yeah, my youngest son's going over with me to the Olympics, and he's gotten very involved in skating, and the United States should do really well. And every single one of those skaters at medal, you know, I'll bring them back next year. You know, if we're able to do a number 10 at Bridgestone Arena, I'm going to be bringing back some skaters, and I'll tell them to bring their hardware, because this is going to be a good Olympics for the United States.
That's awesome. Well, Scott, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Oh, are you kidding? This has
Sunday.
Been an hour.
This has been so much fun.
I hope I didn't kill your show.
No, not at all.
Well, at least I gave him an hour off the Titans, so that's good.
Thank God, right?
You did us a favor there.
Nah, you know, hey, everybody out there, the pendulum swings both ways.
I know. And hopefully, I'm waiting for it to come back the good way. But yeah, we'll see. Coming up Sunday at 4 o'clock, Bridgestone Arena. You can get your tickets. Just go to bridgestonearena.com. Scott, good to see you.
God bless you guys.
Absolutely.
Thank
you too.
Much.
Scott Hamilton joins us. We'll come up and come back and wrap up hour number two next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel. What an absolute pleasure to sit with Scott Hamilton. And, you know, we've had the opportunity to do that several times, and it never disappoints.
It doesn't. Just, and then, is he still here? I don't think he can get out without taking pictures.
He was taking pictures. I mean,
right.
But, like, you think about, you know, this guy fought and beat cancer and has just always has a smile.
Yeah. And then has the servant's heart to give back, man.
So when we complain about traffic or something silly.
And why was he looking at me when he did that? It's like, I know there's one guy
he
here who can't stand traffic.
He had a feeling.
So Sunday at Bridgestone, 4 o'clock, I mean, it is a really special, cool, fun, wonderful event. So go if you can.
Yeah, and it was funny. I was talking to somebody last night that asked about what I do in our show and stuff, and I said, I highlighted us talking about things that aren't sports.
Yeah.
And I said, that's my favorite part. I obviously love talking sports. We're a sports talk show, all that, but we're a life show. That's just what we do, and that was a prime example of how fun it is.
Dr. Craig, remember the complaint we got yesterday about the celebrity encounter, the guy who said, this isn't sports. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And what did I say?
I said you're here to entertain.
3 hours. We're here to entertain.
Did he call in or text?
He texted. I said, we're here.
Was that before or after he went on YouTube?
I said, we're 3 hours. We're to entertain, man. We're to make your life better any way we can to make you laugh, smile. We talk sports. We talk sports. We talk about cancer research with Scott Hamilton. We're doing that. So.
And here's the other thing. I mean, I'm the program director of the station, and I don't tell – like, I want Robbie and Rexro to do the show their way.
Right.
I want Jake to do his show his way. I want Nick and Connor to do their show on the weekends their way. Mm-hmm. We do it our way, okay. DVD. I mean, obviously, I'll always help and influence, but it – there's more than one way to get to a place.
That's so right.
That's, you know.
We're entertaining, man. I got you in a cab ride for 3 hours. It's going to make you smile, make you laugh, make you get things better for you. So we're grateful for Scott to come by and do that. It was really, really. We hope there's a packed house on Sunday at Bridgestone.
Amen to that. We'll come back with more. Greg Wyshynski will join us next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.